Oh, it's so good to be back. Let's get to the intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind bank stuff now.
It's What Do You Know With Joe? Welcome back to another episode of What Do You Know With Joe. As always, we've got Bax, we've got Winnie, we've got Lindsay. Hope everyone's doing well. This week we have the great Bo Hogue joining us. For those who don't know, Bo is a professional golfer on the PGA Tour. He's been through it all, from the early stages to college, to going through Q school, to even before that playing on the mini series in PGA Tour Canada. And now he's got his card. He's on the PGA Tour. So we're very excited to share his story. And you may recognize some of the names he's actually, close with, and even one of his mentors that arguably a lot of people would love to have as a mentor. We dive into all aspects of golf and, what it's like away from the course as well. So everyone tune in. There's no post pod this week. We're just going to, let everyone enjoy the episode with Bo. But we are excited for this one, so not going to talk anymore. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of What Do You Know With Joe. I have the great Bo Hogue joining me, as well as my brother-in-law, Chris Kolarz. Guys, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
Of course, Bo. We're looking forward to talking to you. For those who don't know, Bo is a professional golfer on the PGA Tour, crushing it, and we're looking forward to talking to him. So we'll just jump right into it. But, Bo, you're born and raised in Ohio. You were born into from doing my research, you were born into a golf family, but, wanted to know, what was that like growing up? What was it, the environment in Ohio for golf? I know, we'll talk about it more. There was some pretty good golf following there, as well as, was it always golf 24/7, or were you like a couple sport athlete growing up?
I played a few sports growing up for sure. Ohio's, a pretty big football state. I've had pro teams and Ohio State and Hall of Fames there and all that good stuff. Good high school football. So I actually played football for a few years, and also played basketball and baseball. Baseball is probably my second best. But I kind of figured out that golf was probably going to be my best avenue if I wanted to, keep going with and playing college. I kind of narrowed it down to that.
Guy's a stud playing all the sports. When did you first pick up a golf club? Was it at an early age, with your grandpa, or you're very early on, or was it maybe later on in your life?
Yeah, it was early. I just kind of remember just being in my grandparents' house and my grandpa's, family room, and him having a club laying around or something and just picking that thing up, So I don't know exactly when I really played my first hole or hit shots and stuff like that, but it was always just kind of there. Pretty early.
Going into high school, what was it like playing at the same school, walking in the same footsteps as Nicholas? That is awesome. That is really neat.
Yeah, our mascot is the Golden Bears. Upper Arlington Golden Bears. So that kind of says it all. But it was pretty cool. Obviously some big footsteps to follow in for any of us. So, I think they were so big, we didn't even think about, setting ourselves up to follow in those things, because we're going to match. It's just not a human possibility. Pretty cool to just still, have a couple pictures of him in the hallways of the high school and stuff, and know that he was, on the golf team just like us.
Right on. So, following high school, going to Ohio State, were you without a doubt that's where you wanted to go, or did you have other offers looking at other schools? Sort of walk us through, your college process.
Yeah, I at the end of the day, yes, to answer your question, but I did look around a little bit. I didn't commit to Ohio State, the minute I got an offer. It's kind of just wanted to look at everything, figure out whether I wanted to, stay close to home or look around a little bit. Took a couple, and at the end of the day, kind of took a couple other visits to, Wake Forest down North Carolina, get a good golf program, Northwestern and Virginia. Those were kind of, I wanted to get a good education when I was, wherever I went.
Smart.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have survived looking back on it with the books at those places. But yeah, at the end of the day, for me, it was like I had just grown up. I mean, I went to every Ohio State football game from when I was, 7 years old to to when I eventually, you know, went to college. So if I was in town in Columbus, I went to the game. That's just what I did. And the thought of me showing up at a golf tournament, me putting my bag on the putting green next to the Ohio State bag and playing against that guy, I was like, I can't do that. That's just that. It's not something I'm gonna be able to do.
A little extra smack talk going on during the game for sure. And you know, you had the, I mean, because of your grandpa, you had some relation, and we'll talk a little bit more down the road. You had a little relationship with, you know, Jack. Did he have any, especially did that have, you know, going to his high school and then he went to Ohio State, did that have any impression on you going there? Or was this something you're like, this is my decision, you know, this is what I want to do?
I mean, yeah, I'd be lying to you if he didn't have some effect on me going to Ohio State. I had some chats with him, you know, when I was in high school. You know, when you're a high school athlete, you know, it's kind of your first big life decision is figuring out where you want to go to college and play. And I just remember him more than anything kind of coming to me and say, hey, look, if you stay up north, you got to go to Ohio State. If you want to go someplace where you can play year round, you know, that's another thing. But he's like, his advice to me was don't get stuck in the middle. And go to a place where the weather is just kind of just okay during the winter. The courses still might be open, but he said, you know, the conditions aren't going to be great. It's going to be cold. And Ohio State, you're going to play great courses in Columbus when the weather's good. And when it's not good, you guys get on a plane and go South Florida or Arizona. Yeah. Nice places to go play. I think you kind of have a good setup with that.
Mm-hmm. And sidebar question here. I can't imagine because it's Big Ten, and especially like if Jack Nicklaus is telling you to stay north, what was that competition like, you know, in the Big Ten? Like what was, you know, like you said, across the country, you know, again, we spoke to someone yesterday and they're like, SEC is really good. What was the Big Ten like and what were some of those competitions like?
you know, we actually ended up having a pretty good conference by the time we were seniors. Illinois had a good team. They were really picking up some steam. They've been kind of a national, I call it a powerhouse the last 5 or 10 years, really. So a lot of teams were just kind of emerging, I feel like, in the Big Ten. And like before we knew it, I mean, we were having, you know, 5 or 6 teams in the NCAA finals. And a lot of teams ranked, you know, in the top 25, top 50. So it got to be pretty good.
I bet.
So, you know, being at Ohio State with all of the great sports programs that they have, male, you know, female, were you tight with any other athletes across any of the other teams? Or were
you know, it's funny because at Ohio State, I mean, we were just under 1,000 student athletes when I was there, and now they're over that. So, I mean, it was the most that any school had. So they had a big, you know, a big task to try to take care of all of us and, you know, keep our grades good and keep everybody, you know, well fed and all that good stuff. So we actually did see each other quite a bit, you know, at various, you know, study halls or weight rooms. You know, you use more than one weight room. So sometimes we worked out in the football weight room. So you know, walk by and I'd see like, you know, like a James Laurinaitis. So I'm like, man, yeah, these guys are just twice our size. It's really impressive. But we ended up working out with our trainer he did basketball and golf. So, and just those two teams. So we work out in the basketball arena and we got to be, you know, a little part of the basketball program there. And they had a really good team. I think it was my sophomore and junior year, kind of the years that Evan Turner was coming through there.
Yeah.
He was national player of the year, and I think they were the overall number one seed in the tournament and made some good runs. But yeah, we definitely bumped into some guys.
Yeah, right. For sure. On, man. That's
Chris,
cool.
Before you jump into the next question, I have one.
Did you ever have, like, especially like at Ohio State's like practice ground, like, or anything, did you ever have like other coaches or even like some players be like, you know, I kind of want to come hit some ball, do something? Was it like anything like that ever happened?
Yeah. At Ohio State, I mean, we have two golf courses that are just owned by the university, the Scarlet Course and the Gray Course. And it'd be funny because, well, there's two stories I have. But first, I mean, you just see a random athlete just hitting balls one day, you know, like maybe in the spring, a football player will come out, you know, like, I'm not kidding. I see like Terrell Pryor coming out to their driving range one day.
That's what's up.
In April or something, and just, you know, hitting balls for an hour. And but then also, which is funny at the golf course, is that during the football season on Friday nights before home games, the whole football team comes and they eat dinner at the golf course's restaurant. And it's just funny when, you know, we're practicing and we'll be on the putting green and all of a sudden there's like six buses roll up. And I mean, the whole place just stops. Nobody does. The employees, the people playing on the course, the players on the team, everybody just, and we just drop our clubs and we just watch 100 huge guys roll right by us. And I mean, it's just funny how that was every Friday home game.
That's what's up.
That's cool. So, you know, when your time at Ohio State was coming to an end, walk us through your path to becoming the professional golfer that you are, you know, where, you know, how you got there, where you started, things like that.
Yeah. I knew I'd always kind of wanted to play on the PGA Tour, growing up in Columbus, going to the Memorial Tournament, you know, and eventually, you know, watching it and then kind of working on the driving range when I was a kid, kind of getting a little closer look inside the ropes at the guys and when Tiger was coming through. And so I always kind of wanted to do it. And I, you know, at Ohio State was going to be a little bit of a, to see where I was at. I got to become an All-American at Ohio State and I said, you know what, I think I'd like to give this a shot. I think I got a chance. I wasn't ready to go play on the PGA Tour when I graduated Ohio State. There's no question about that. I had to do a little bit of work. It's funny. I mean, you could be as good a player as you want to be in college and in golf, you know, there's no first round draft where you're going to get, you know, a guarantee somewhere. It's all earned. So, and that's the beauty of it. So you just got to go, play your way onto the tour.
That's what's up. Yeah, no. And like, to what you just said, I think people just don't understand how hard it is to get on the PGA Tour. I think people have a lot of people, like, I'm sure the people close to the game, but like, I'm sure there's a lot of people outside of it who are just like, oh, they'll play like on a few ones and then they're on the tour. It's not that simple. You know, what was it like, you know, tell us about like your first PGA Tour event and then to even play on like the PGA Tour Canada. Like, were you nervous as hell for that first match? Like when you're just like your hands are just numb, what was that first experience like?
Yeah. So, that was actually the first year I graduated from Ohio State in 2011. 2012 was basically the first year that I played professionally. And I hadn't gotten through Q school to get my tour card. So I was, you know, playing the quote mini tours that first year and trying to develop my game. And, I played in a couple PGA Tour Monday qualifiers where you can show up, you know, 18 holes in the low four scores are going to go play in the tournament. And you have to shoot, you know, 64, 65, 66, somewhere in there. The first one I ever did was the Honda Classic 2012. And I shot 65. I'm like, what are these guys talking about? This isn't that hard. I played in one of these and I've already gotten through. So,
this is cake.
Yeah. And little did I know. But I played in the Honda Classic in 2012. That was my first tour event. And that probably was the most nervous I've ever been on a course, was hitting the first tee shot in that tournament, you know, just because you do feel a little out of place. You know, it's like I've earned this for 1 week versus when I first showed up to my first tour event, when I had earned my cart, you know, status on the tour, you feel a little more like, you know, a little more like you belong. But yeah, definitely was nervous in that first event.
Oh, I can't imagine. And were there anyone on those like mini tours, like, or like even before then, like when you were like, we'll jump to it next with like Q school, Were there anyone like you were playing with that you got close with that is either on like the tour now or like even playing with like Liv or something?
Yeah, I mean, one of my good buddies on the tour, Adam Long, we're about the same age, and you know, we kind of did the same thing. You know, we played in Canada together, and then we lived together in Jupiter, Florida for about 3 years, you know, kind of figuring it all out. And then we both played the what's now the Korn Ferry Tour. Mm-hmm. And then we made it to the PGA Tour. And Adam won a tour event in Palm Springs his rookie year on tour. So he's doing really well. So kind of fun to have, you know, you have so many friends that just been through things with.
Yeah, man. Right on. So you mentioned the Korn Ferry Tour. Sort of tell us now that we're getting a little further along, tell us about that. What was that like? You know, just tell us, you know, maybe you had a favorite tournament, you know, tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. So that's a big step in, you know, a player's career, you know, is getting to the Korn Ferry Tour. It's not an easy thing. I mean, I know hundreds and hundreds of players that I see, you know, down here in South Florida that are really good golfers, and they might not ever get a chance to play on the Korn Ferry Tour because it's mm-hmm. difficult to get onto. You know, you got to get through three or four stages of Q school and, you know, be ready to play well when you get out there. But for me, you know, I think that was a really big step was getting through Q school to get a card on the Korn Ferry Tour. And then once I got out there, you know, I was kind of ready to play the first event I played, and I'd finished seventh in the event. So sometimes the hardest part is just getting out there and, you know, believing that, you know, once you do get out there, you're ready to go.
Yeah, man, for sure. So, you know, playing on the Korn Ferry Tour, you mentioned Long just now. Do you have any other buddies that you know, you got close with sort of throughout your time that you're still, you know, remaining good contact with?
Oh man. I mean, you make a lot of friends, you know. It's just, we have such a long season, you know, and we don't have a team. So it's a funny, an interesting kind of concept that, you know, we show up to the course, hey, we're all competing. We're 156 different teams trying to beat each other. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of cool. We all kind of like root for each other. We want to beat each other, but we want everybody to be playing great. We don't want to beat you because you bogeyed the last hole. We want to beat you because you made par and we made birdie, you know? So it's like on the PGA Tour, the first couple events that I got out there as a member, I just felt that there was, you know, almost like you look after each other a little bit. And yeah, you compete on the course during the day, but you know, now looking at it, you know, these, a lot of guys are starting families and out there, and you know, their kids are, and your kids are going to be, you know, possibly best friends through their childhoods. And you know, you might, you know, share Airbnbs with each other and go to dinner and all that good stuff. So it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. And you know, you made a comment just about how long the season is. I don't think that people realize the grind that you guys put in. Cause it's like, you go from place to place, you leave one tournament, you go to another. It's like, you're constantly on the road. You mm-hmm. know, you get there on a Monday, Tuesday, whenever you get your practice rounds in, like, it's just, it doesn't stop. I feel like.
And then the season ends and it's like 2 weeks later, you're like almost back to starting.
Yeah.
Like, oh good. Yeah. We had a great off season.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They've already got the new FedEx projections started, you know, like I thought we just did that. Like, you're right. About 9 days later.
You're right. I just need to, you know, let me get a drink. But but no, geez. And now, you know, you're on the PGA Tour and, you know, that level of competition is always next level. And like you said, even though everything's close, and especially when you get on the tour, you know, you've got to keep that card. Like, everyone's competing to do that. You know, what's that competition like? And then how do you train? What's your regimen like? I mean, kind of like you were texting me. I mean, like, after this, you've got, you know, training. And then, like, even like yesterday or the day before, you got calls with PGA. Like, what's the training regimen like? And, you know, how do you stay competitive?
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, that question you asked of how you train, because we're, again, 156 different teams every week. And what works for one guy isn't going to work for another guy necessarily, right. You know, and it's like everybody kind of has their I mean, I call it a checklist of things. Hey, this is what I need to do the week before the tournament, the Monday through Wednesday practice rounds of the tournament. These are my keys. And my keys aren't going to work for Rory McIlroy. Yeah. And his keys aren't going to work for me, you know? And it's like, it's trying to find that. You got to really find what that little note card is that you need to do and stick to it. But it's just funny. I mean, some guys don't want to play, you know, when they're home a week off, they don't want to play a hole. They're not going to go on the course. They might hit balls on the range. They might spend a whole time on the driving range doing what they need to do.
We lose them.
I got a
great still of Bo right now. But it's all good. We'll give him a sec. He'll be back here. And man, we were just on the end. Like, I'd be so curious to know. And he's coming back. For those who are listening on the show, this is great. It's, you know, Bo's coming in from Florida. So, you know, he's coming on, you know, internet's, you know, gotta be sometimes, you know, it's there and it's not there, but we'll give him a sec. No worries. I think he's brought up some cool points so far, dude. Like, I'm so curious. I have some questions at the end I want to ask him. And also, I'm glad everyone got the hat memo. Everyone got the hat memo. He'll be right back. He'll be during his intermission time, ladies and gentlemen. But no, it's I was so curious to hear, like, because, like, and when we talked to Steven yesterday, there we go. Bo's back.
Okay.
There it is. All good. So you were saying everyone's on the – yeah, it's all good. It's all good. This internet, you know, it is what it is. But you were mentioning everyone's just kind of, you know, some people just hit on the range, right?
Yeah, there's just different methods for every player. I mean, and when some guys are – I mean, I see it every day. When I go over – I play at the Bears Club down here in Jupiter. You know, we've got 25 tour players out there. I know if I go over there today, I'm going to see Alex Noren hitting 6-irons for 3 hours.
That's crazy.
But
I got a ball from that guy once at the PGA. that man's the homie.
Yeah, but if I'm not going to see – Dustin Johnson doing that, you know, I might see him hit a couple putts and maybe go play a few holes and, you know, go hang out with his family and get on a boat for a couple hours or something.
Makes sense when your dad's like Wayne Gretzky and stuff too. It makes sense. You know, when you're, and you know, you got a good family there, but, you know, tell us a little bit about too, like, you know, what do you think, especially like we were just talking about, like, you know, they already have the projections coming out. And I think with other competition, they're trying to do a lot. You know, what are some things you like most about the tour, like what they have going on and like things that they have planned for the future? What are you really excited about?
You know, I think one thing that's great about the PGA Tour is, you know, that you're in charge and you're the boss of yourself. You know, you don't have to play every tournament and you don't have to play, you know, this many in a row, or you can kind of do what you want. You know, you have pretty good freedom on the PGA Tour of where you want to play, how much you want to play, and, you know, your time, other than maybe playing in the Pro-Am on Wednesday, you know, you're free to kind of do what you want outside the competition days. So I think they've done a good job of, you know, keeping that and giving us, you know, flexibility and freedom. And obviously there's, you know, from a financial standpoint, you know, the purses have been growing and growing on the PGA Tour, and I think they've done a great job with that, and that just adds excitement, you know, for everyone, really, players and the fans. So I mean, I think it's on a great trajectory.
Is there anything that you wish to sort of see change here in the next year, two, three?
I don't know exactly know how it would be figured out. I haven't thought of it critically enough to really, you know, dissect it. But I wouldn't mind some way of saying on the PGA Tour, you know what, something to the effect of, hey, you can play 20 tournaments, and that's it. You can't play more than 20.
Okay.
And you can pick and choose which 20 you want to play. But yeah, it doesn't have to be 20, maybe 22, 25. Sure. But I think one thing I would like to see is that a player wouldn't have to feel like he has to play. You know, last year I played 32 events on the PGA Tour, which is, you know, more than I want to play it. I don't really want to do that for a lifetime. So if you instituted something to where, you know, there was a max amount of events you could play in, it would be tricky though, because, you know, there would be tournaments that wouldn't be happy if, you know, a player had already met his 20 and couldn't come to the next tournament. But I mean, if it, I don't know how it would be figured out, but I think it would be something to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Right on, man. That's 30. That's it. That is great. That's insane. That is a lot of golf.
That's so much golf. You think about every tournament with 4 days, 18 holes times 30, like 32, like you said.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
we talked about the season basically starting up here in the next few weeks. Are you looking forward to getting back at it? Or are you enjoying sort of stepping away for a little bit? You know, what, where's your headspace?
You know, yeah, I mean, obviously, a little time off is great. You know, we're wife and I are expecting our first kid here pretty soon.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So, nice to just kind of catch up on life a little bit and not feel like I have to, you know, do laundry and pack my golf shirts for the next trip and make sure I got everything, you know, all set up. So it is nice to be home for a little bit.
Yeah, man. Right on. That's awesome. Congratulations again. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's very
cool. Yeah. Thanks.
Very awesome. Cool.
So we mentioned him a little bit. You went to his high school. What is your relationship like with Jack Nicklaus, and are you guys still kind of close today? And how does that, I mean, like, you, for people that don't know, also Bo's grandfather, correct, played against, like, you know, Jack, all these great peoples, things like that. What's your relationship like with him? And, you know, do you talk to him every now and then?
Definitely. Yeah. Still see him, you know, quite a bit. He hangs out at the Bears Club in Jupiter, where I mostly play and train. He'll still come out and try to hit balls, and he's still, you know, I can still see there's a little itch there to just, you know, try something, right, and see how it works. I just don't think that it ever goes away, you know? Yeah. And, so it's kind of cool to still see him try to go, you know, out there and try something or figure something out. But he's great. I mean, any player that would ask for advice from Jack, you know, he would give it to you. And secondly, you know, he's really one of the best interviews in sports. You know, he's always gonna answer your question. He's never gonna dodge a question, and he's gonna give you a straight answer on. And he's going to tell you the way he thinks it is. So it's, like, it's valuable.
Got to have that directness. And I appreciate that. Probably goes into his game. And then, you know, again, if he's a great interview, we'll have to reach out to him too. But if you, again, I know this is kind of like right now a sensitive topic too. And again, we don't have to dive into it a lot. But, you know, what do you make of this whole like live tour? And in your opinion, you know, potentially, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, that's a hot topic right now. It's one that you could, you know, sit by a fire and talk about for it seems like 5 or 6 hours, you know, and then come back the next day and keep talking about it. And it's just, it never really ends. But you know, I've had some friends now that are going to the LIV tour. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're independent contractors, you know, and you can choose what you want to do. You didn't sign a contract, you know, with a franchise per se, where you're locked into something or you have to fulfill a certain amount of, you know, years on something. So in a way, I mean, you know, I have some friends that have, right, you know, gone and, you know, that's their freedom to do what they think is best for their career. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously there's some enticing positives to going to play on the LIV tour.
Sure.
So, and then there's, you know, the PGA tour is a great option as well. It's, you know, they're two different animals.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, some players think that, you know, the LIV Tour might be better suited for what they wish to do. Mm-hmm. So that's their, you know, they have that choice to make if they want to do it.
All right.
That was a great way to answer that. Yeah, it was a great way to answer that too. And also, yeah, it's hard to, you know, you got to get that bag potentially. I mean, my boy, I'm a big Harold Varner fan because I went to ECU, and it was hard to see him go, but at the same time, I get it. You know, that he's getting offered probably like 20 mil or something like that, and he's got a family, like some, like, you know, it's kind of hard to say like, nah, I'm not going to take that. Like, I mean, especially, you know, golf, there's no guarantee. Like you said before, there's no guarantees in sport. You're at any point it can be taken away. So
yeah,
sometimes opportunity presents itself. You got to take it sometimes.
Yep. Totally.
Even his candidness, and he just said it how it was. And people just don't think necessarily like it's generational wealth. You look at it, your family could be set for your kids, them kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a
lot. Yeah. When somebody puts that number in front of you on a piece of paper, you know, I think it's a little different than just, you know, reading it on a headline on Twitter or something like that.
For sure. All right. So let's step away from the golf course. What do you enjoy doing in your free time? What are some of your hobbies, other interests, things like that?
I'm figuring that out because this is the first time where I've had more than a week off at home. So, you know, we kind of spend time both in Columbus, Ohio, Jupiter, Florida. You know, Jupiter's it's a great place to live. I mean, right on the water. We got the Jupiter Inlet, some cool restaurants and stuff. Obviously some great boating and fishing down here. I'd like to say I'm a good fisherman, but I don't have a whole lot of experience. I'd like to get into that a little bit more. I love cars. So anything cars, you know, auto racing or just reading or watching a YouTube video of some new car coming out, you know, so I like the feeling of going fast in a car.
Okay.
That's what's up. Any, like, are you into formula racing at all? Or are you like a big, just like, you know, like, oh, check out that Audi, or like, that's a sweet, sweet, like Alfa Romeo or something like that.
I do like formula racing. I'm not super, you know, I don't know all the ins and outs and every driver right now. I'd like to learn more. I like IndyCar, you know, growing up close to Indianapolis, went to Indy 500 a bunch of times. So I like following that. But yeah, anything really. I mean, I like it all.
Yeah, right on, man. Right on. Joe, you want to take this? These are usually your last.
Chris, I'm coming to you for the fifth grader question. So don't run away from it. But and with that though, you know, I think like you said, I was the same way with formula racing. Like Chris and my other brother Anthony are like really, like, they know, like, I'd say more about it than the average folk, and it wanted to spark my interest. And one of the things I started doing with the show is like reaching out to formula racers, trying to get more and more. So it's same with you, Bug. I'm trying to talk to more and more racers because I'm like, want to know so much about it. Even the one I've had so far, it's kind of like, holy shit, like, this is intense, like, this is another level of like racing. Or, you know, it's like, holy crap. And on top of like being away from the course, things of that nature, you know, are there anything, and again, one of the point of our show is to love to just, on top of learning about your background and where you come from in the sport of golf, but, you know, things that are important to you, interests, you know, you mentioned your family, or, you know, things that, you know, happen outside of the world of golf. Are there any things that are like, you know, charities you're part with, anything like that? Any interests or topics in that aspect that you maybe want to bring to light, or things that you wish more people knew more about?
You speak to the charitable, you know, I've been starting to get involved with this initiative called Play Yellow, which is a way for us to use golf as a vehicle to maybe give back to some kids that are you know, sick or hospitalized, and to help them, you know, raise some money for them. I know that through the Memorial Tournament where I'm from in Columbus, you know, we all wear yellow ribbons throughout the week, and we're encouraged to wear yellow on Sunday during the tournament. And I got involved with that, and it actually was really cool for you know, the first time in the last couple of years. You know, I kind of did this thing where I would make a donation for each birdie or eagle I made That's cool. in the memorial and some other events as well. And you know, it kind of puts it in perspective sometimes when you're ticked off after making bogey. And you know, you go make a birdie and you're like, hey, you know what? That might have helped in a little way.
Yeah.
It might have helped a kid who, you know, could only dream of playing in
this concert, right.
You know, and it's like we're out here complaining about, you know, something. And I'm like,
yeah.
It actually felt pretty good. So Play Yellow is a
cool
thing to check out. The Nicholases are involved. It's through the Nicholas Healthcare Foundation. So it's cool, and you know, he used to wear yellow on Sundays. Jack did. So that's kind of where the idea came from. And yeah, look out for him in the Memorial Tournament next year when you see the guy, just about every player have a yellow ribbon on their hat. So it's
that's cool. Awesome.
That's cool. Man. That's what's up. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That is really cool. And before we get into, I have some, after this question, I have some cute, like some other questions that popped up while we were talking. But again, I've asked this question to NFL Pro Bowlers. I've asked this question to soccer players. I've asked it to literally everyone, and I'm dying to know what your response is. So I like to preface it. Have you ever seen the movie Step Brothers with like Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
So you know that scene where they're on like the playground and like they just get bombarded with children, like fifth graders? In that kind of situation, how many fifth graders do you think you could take on before they overpower you? Like, is it, you know, I've heard some crazy answers, and I'll give mine, and Chris, I'm coming to you next. But like, you know, for instance, like Wayne Harris was like, I'll apologize to the parents later, but I'm going after them kids. Like, you know, you get some wide responses, but I'd love to know what you think.
Man, I have to like try to talk them out of it first, you know, sure. Even my words.
Sure, I get that.
But man, what a weird.
Fifth graders are built.
I don't
now
know
too,
how
man.
To even think about it. I don't know, man. I'd like to say that our us, you know, tour players are pretty strong and buff, but you know, it doesn't take much. So, I mean, get some withdrawals with guys having a, you know, fingernail issue or something like that. So I don't want to set ourselves up to be something we're not. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe a handful of kids. I think I'd be tapping out pretty soon. I'd probably be worried about, you know, getting injured and missing a next chunk of tournaments or something. So I'd probably, you know, bow down pretty quickly.
I get that. Like I said, fifth graders are built now. Like my wife's a teacher, and like fifth graders now come in at like 5 foot or like you know, 5'3", 5'4", at like 150, and it's like, what are you feeding these kids? They're just built now. Chris, how many do you think you got?
I don't know, man. They can be feisty. You know, even watching like the Little League World Series, like that's that fourth, fifth grade realm. Those kids are huge.
Dude,
and I'm not a very big dude myself. So I, you know, maybe a handful tops, but like Bo said, I don't want to hurt myself, you know?
Right.
You know? I've got a funny, now that you mentioned the Step Brothers scene, I got a funny story about Will Ferrell that I'll tell real quick. My wife and I were out at Pebble Beach playing the event out there that we have every year. And, you know, we make a dinner reservation at a place, you know, called the Tap Room. It's right there on Pebble on 18, and, you know, sitting down, just kind of, it's Pebble Beach, place is amazing. Just enjoying dinner. And, like 30 minutes into the dinner, my wife, she looks at me, she goes, "Bo, you're not going to believe this." I'm like, "What?" She's like, "That's Will Ferrell sitting behind you right now." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" Like, I never saw anybody like, remotely look like Will Ferrell walking in here, but I couldn't, like, he was like right behind. I mean, the only way I had to look right at him, one of those situations. And so, you know, I eventually got up, you know, go to the bathroom or something. I'm like, you know, there's not many guys on this planet that I truly need to see or maybe even try to get a selfie with. You know, Will Ferrell is one of those guys.
For real.
So long story short, we fortunately we're like eating at the same time. Like we're getting appetizers at the same time. We're getting, you know, I'm like, this might work out. We're gonna walk out of here like same time. We're gonna ask this guy if he can get a picture of us. And so sure enough, we're walking out of the joint and we're like, hey, we hate to ask you this, but, you know, is there any chance we could, you know, get a picture with you?
Yeah.
And, you know, I have no idea how he's going to react. So he's like, yeah, that's fine. And so we get lined up.
No. No. Oh, Bo. No. Oh, we're going to need it, Bo. Honestly, couldn't have been a better time for it to lag out because, like, that, like this, there seems like there was a huge climax coming to that.
Hanging, dude. We're just hanging.
I know. We're all like, and everyone, I can't wait for everyone to be listening to this podcast to be like, what happened, Bo? Like, it's good. All right, guys. Again, it happened. It's no worries. He'll be coming back. He's been good about that. It's no worries. I'm very curious. Chris, I was thinking about, I want to ask him who, like, in the pro, if he's ever played anyone, like, in a pro-am, like, yeah, like, who's cool, somebody he's played with in a pro-am. And then, another thing I want to ask him is, like, shit, I had it, but I'll come back to it. I'll think of it. But yeah, I want to know who's playing the pro. That was, oh, the cliffhanger. Like, you left us on a cliffhanger.
Right on the cliffhanger.
So anyways, you guys want
to get back into this.
Yeah.
This woman who was also at the restaurant comes over to while we're kind of getting set up for the selfie, and she goes, "Will, I'm your number one fan. You got to get a picture of me. I'm your number one fan in the world." And Chris and my wife and I were like, we're not really sure what this guy's going to say back to her or if he's just going to pull her off. In a total Will Ferrell fashion, he goes, how could you be my number one fan? She just told me she was my number one fan. Like, in total, the same character in the movie and everything. We were just there. I mean, we're like, wow, it's incredible. I mean, it's the same guy that you see in the movies.
Yeah. He's just a chill dude. I also like how in that story, like, in the middle of your dinner, too, you're just, like, analyzing. He's like, hey, this is going to work out. Like, in the middle of on top of you're like, hey, we got app at the same time. Dinner's coming. Let me make sure I write the check at the same time he writes. Like, yep. I appreciate that part of it. That's awesome. Yep. Holy shit. Yeah. That's awesome. And then with that too, I was telling Chris, like, one of the last things I want to ask, speaking of, like, pro-ams and, like, you know, those kind of have you ever played in, like, a celebrity tournament or something like that and paired with, like, you know, someone cool, or, like, ever, like, played with someone you're like, oh, that was, like, kind of a pleasure to play with? And then I have a quick one after that too, but I'm curious to know if you've ever played with, you know, a celebrity or someone like that and you're like, hey, he's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, you play with some, you know, in these pro-am tournaments, like, especially like the Pebble Beach pro-am, it's such a cool tournament, and they've really kept that thing going for a number of decades, where they bring in a great mesh of bringing people in to play golf once a year that kind of get to rub shoulders with for a few days. And so, you know, I've played with some cool guys at that. I played with the owner of the Boston Bruins my rookie year on tour, just kind of randomly. I didn't even know Jerry Jacobs, and so it was cool to kind of talk a little hockey while we were out there. And then there's just so many. I mean, I can't even think of, you know, the rest of the players that play in that, but every year there's always, you know, someone there. But as far as your question with playing somebody who I would consider famous, I guess, would be Michael Jordan. You know, he plays every day. It's really amazing. He plays 36 holes a day every day. I got to play with him one time down here in Florida. And
over at his track, over at the Grove?
So it was, I have played the Grove, and it's awesome. But the day that we played, it was actually flooded because there's like a couple canals that kind of run on the sides of the course there. So we played over at Bears Club. He actually lives on Bears Club.
Okay.
So we played out there, and it was kind of a wild day. But yeah, it was a blast. Was a lot of fun.
I can't imagine there wasn't any gambling going on in that game, or a couple of skins put down on that, for sure. Can't imagine there wasn't a little bit, or like that competitive nature. Chris, what was the course your dad worked, or like the one you were affiliated with down? Because like, doesn't Charlie play there?
Hey, in Banyan K in West Palm.
Yeah, I've played Banyan K. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, my dad was the general manager there, trying to get the ball up and running and stuff. But I've been down there a few times. I've enjoyed playing that course. But he was telling me, I guess this past year they had the Monday qualifier at for the Honda Classic.
Yeah,
that was cool.
They do have the Monday there now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was curious. I want to see if Bo had played there before. And then last question before we let you go. You've been an awesome guest. Mm-hmm. Is there any, like, I won't make you say the bad ones, but are there any, like, players that, like, you really love playing with on the tour? Like, whether it's a play quick or, like, they're just fun to play with? Like, I've heard, like, Varner's fun to play with. Are there any you're like, man, I love playing with this guy?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's always that one guy, you know, you finish your round. Let's say you're playing well one week and you finish your round on Saturday. And, you know, Sunday's, you know, the final day, that's your big day. You get your text that night, kind of when you're at dinner, what time you're playing and who you're playing with. And you're always kind of like, got this preconceived notion that, hey, I want to have a pretty good pairing tomorrow. I don't want to play with some. So I've always said a great guy to play with is Brant Snedeker. Cause he plays very fast and he like roots for you the entire round. You know, he's like, your ball might need to go, it's in the air and you both know that it needs to go, you know, go to cover this trap.
Right.
And he'll give it, oh, come on, just cover that trap. Go. Like he'll root it along with you. So, I mean, I've played with him a couple times and there's a number of great, great guys to play with, but the combination of the speed that he plays with and
just
cheerfulness, I'm going to go with Sneds.
That's pretty cool. I was going to say, I feel like, you know, and is he just a nice guy or does he do that for the competitive players? It's like, why the fuck is this guy cheering for me right now? We're playing against each other.
He's a super nice guy, you know? Okay. And yeah, he's been out there obviously a long time, had a great career. He's won a FedEx Cup and nice that, you know, some of those veterans, they don't have to, take rookies or younger players, you know, and kind of welcome them a little bit. But he and another guy that sticks out to me is Lucas Glover. I remember the first tournament that I got, the first tournament that I played on tour when I received my card as a member. You know, Lucas came over to me on the putting green at the Greenbrier and just said, hey, you know what? I know it's not easy to get out here. And I just want to congratulate you on achieving that and wish you all the best in your career out here and hope you're out here a long time. Something like that, you know, takes 10 seconds, 15 seconds of your time. And it just really went a long way for me.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, wouldn't care to do that, but which is fine. But, you know, I think it goes a long way.
That's pretty cool. You know, nice guy, Glover. Yeah. That wraps me up, Chris, before we let Bo go, because I know he's got, you know, 30. Let's give him some time before he's got to get going. But, Chris, do you have anything for him?
I don't, man. That was awesome. That was very cool. And obviously, we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to
talk
to us. That was neat to get inside, you know, inside and everything.
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
Easily. Yeah, and we'll be, I'm sure over the next year, we'll get out to a couple events. If you hear us chirping for you, you know, we'll be rooting for you, my man. Love always it. A fan, always a fan for the pod. Now that you've been on, you're a friend of the pod. So, we wish you the best and, thanks for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks. Good luck.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Well, see you.
See you.